Yeah! Happy Groundhog Day, Slee. How do you observe privately? Do you throw a party at your house? How do you observe Groundhog Day?
A lot of people come over.
Yeah, me too. A
lot of people come over.
Bright and early in the morning.
We have in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come over and we look for our own shadows.
Exactly.
I had forgotten it was Groundhog Day until Emily reminded me this morning. And apparently he saw his shadow.
I did not forget.
Yeah. He saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of winter, guys. I know we're all waiting on bated
breath.
Don't we
have like satellites and stuff? And, you know, weathermen that actually have some skill nowadays, that it's not just, hey, what is old Phil coming out of this little cage think? I feel like we've got more
That's what we have.
Accurate
that's
what we're, systems to predict the weather.
That's what we wait for.
It's definitely like the stupidest thing I think that the East Coast has ever done is the Groundhog's Day thing. So it's like, Punxsutawney Phil.
Is it a bigger
Gobbler's
deal back there,
Knob.
Emily? Like,
yeah.
Do they get fired up for it?
Right, because, yes, they do. Because
we get fired up.
It's winter, because like, you're waiting for this thing. And like, when I was a kid, I believed that this was actually true. I was like, oh my gosh, this groundhog is going to, and I would get really mad or sad, whatever the result was. But just like, I'm going to take a second to listen to this, what they do. So I don't know if you guys have ever actually watched this broadcast and outside of the movie.
So many times.
Outside of the movie.
I swear to God that you said that Al, I did not know that there was like a, I knew
it's
as
a real,
kid
yeah, it's
that
a
there
real
was
thing.
Groundhog Day,
yeah.
Right? That it was a thing that was kind of a joke and whatnot. I didn't know there was like this whole celebration about Punxsutawney Phil until the Bill Murray movie. I thought that it was a creation for the movie, that they created this thing. I didn't know it was real.
No, yeah, this is true. So I'm going to play part of the clip from this morning of their announcement of Groundhog Day.
Now on this February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob. Phil looked to the skies and then, speaking in groundhoggese, directed this President Dunkle to the proper scroll, which reads, I see the morning has brought the finest people. Yes. I see their bravery and spirit.
Amen.
The time has come, I can feel it.
Hallelujah.
The excitement,
preach.
I can hear it. I see the folks with gray in their hair, and I see the kids all young and scrawny, their eyes and cheeks aglow from the cold, clean air of sweet Punxsutawney. I see that everyone knows their part.
How long is this thing?
And I am merely the same.
Her clip is 14 right. minutes. It's going to take us actually to DeMarco.
So this is... They do this whole thing and whole production, and they bring out this aging or old, like ancient groundhog. Clearly, it's the groundhog gets replaced every year, and they just, they wake him up from his slumber. It's just the stupidest thing ever, and it's
pretty.
Well,
stupid.
I mean, your opinion. I think a lot of other people would disagree with that.
Yeah, but it's just one of those bits thing. I don't know. I
so
can't get over
Emily,
it.
Do you know AJ?
Strong.
Do you know AJ Derumas? Does that name ring a bell?
I don't think so.
Okay, he's the groundhog handler.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They have a secret society of people that handle these groundhogs that read the scroll. It's like a secret society in the town of Punxsutawney. It's ridiculous.
So Al and I are Californians. Groundhog Day, just not really a thing. Emily obviously has very strong feelings about how much she dislikes it. As a Midwesterner, Taylor, Groundhog Day was what?
Not a big deal, but I actually hate groundhogs. So we call them woodchucks in Iowa, and they're invasive.
Jesus.
They destroy the foundations of buildings and homes and barns.
Do you dispose of them?
Yeah, when I was little, my dad, he actually... He gave me a bow and arrow and told me to go and get some groundhogs if I could find any.
A bow and arrow?
Yeah. Well, he's not going to give a kid a gun. Come on.
I mean, at that point, is there much of a difference? I mean, I still feel like
a lot of things
can happen. Do you know
one thing that did not come out of my dad's mouth when I was growing up is, hey, here's a bow and arrow. Go handle that. That definitely did not happen at the Slee house.
They're destroying the barn. Come on.
Yeah, no, I
gotta
understand.
Take care of it.
Look,
we
he
get
lived
it.
A different
I'm just
life.
Saying that my dad was not telling me the same thing that your dad was telling you. He was a little bit different
that
where
is,
we came
that's
from.
That's awesome.
Were you good with a bow and arrow?
I bet he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not trying to brag, but.
Was it a crossbow like Chewy, or was it a bow and arrow like, you know?
You got to wind it back. Yeah, it's a bow and arrow.
It was this one.
Right.
Okay.
Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Yes.
Katniss Everdeen.
I was trying to think of the movie that we Last of the Mohicans is perfect.
Yeah.
Dances with Wolves. That bow and arrow as opposed to crossbow, shoot it like a gun. Hunger Games. There you go.
I want to go back to that clip. I don't know why we cut that off right in the middle.
We missed the best part at the end, Emily.
What happened at the end?
Okay, well, then you got to play it at the end because I can't go to the end right now.
Well, let's wait. Let's build the suspense.
You sure? Let's pull it over in their car saying, play the end.
Let's wait until it plays out a little bit, and we will build audience in with the big reveal a little bit later on.
137-year history of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah. It's very exciting. Look, 137 years ago, there wasn't a lot going on. You needed to create events to get people out of their homes and out of their wagons to come look at these things.
My favorite is I didn't really have to type in much. NPR has a full article that I have not got a chance to read.
Bookmark, though.
But I got AJ on there. I found that part. AJ's a big piece of this.
Perfect. I did not waste a lot of time on Groundhog Day yesterday, but you guys, and I don't even remember how we got there, but I got started on a black hole through the internet yesterday. You know, so sometimes like, you just want to go find something that leads to the thing, and the next thing you know, you look up and a couple of hours have gone by. I had one of those yesterday. And it started with us talking.
I'm already interested.
Remember we were talking about the Seattle Sonics logo?
Yeah.
And a couple of people were sending it to me, that's not the one I'm talking about. So I go online last night to look for the Seattle Seahawks or Seattle Supersonics logo that I remember as a kid. And I found it. And I sent it to Taylor. I'm like, this is the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then that kind of connected to an old Jack Sigma poster.
Sure. No, it makes sense.
And I'm thinking, I kind of remember that poster, but I remember having a George Brett edition of that same thing. Next thing I know, I'm in a black hole of 1970s, early 80s Sports Illustrated posters. I went through all of them. Mm-hmm. I went through all of them all over again, looking at all these random people from the 70s and 80s. It was the most fun I've had wasting 2 hours in weeks.
So usually when people who use the internet, and they go down a black hole, I've heard stories of the type of black holes they go down. That's not a story that I've heard that they spent two hours.
This is how much
researching
time I wasted.
Posters
I
and everything
tweeted
else.
About it last night. That's how much time I realized I had wasted, and I put it out there. I said, "Look, if you're anywhere roughly my age and a sports fan, and I put a link to these posters,
you're gonna know."
I got 100 people hitting me back like, "That was awesome. That was amazing. I remember these two. I had the Wally Joyner one. I had the Johnny Bench one. Whatever it was a complete waste of time that I am anxious to do all over again."
I go down, I thought you were going to come back with, bro, there's some conspiracy theories on. I did not know this existed. Nope.
Try to keep a light in the household.
Jack Sigma.
Which led to Johnny Bench, which led to Jim Palmer. Do you know that there was a Ray Guy poster back? We had posters of punters. Why did we have that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, well, there's one out there. He's one of the first ones that come up. I don't need conspiracy theories. There's enough. I have enough bad thoughts rolling around. I don't need to go deep into the internet. I just want to
go even further on those. Nah. Let those bad thoughts grow roots.
Pete writes, "I had the Larry Bird poster, ordered it right from Sports Illustrated. I probably had the football phone as well."
I told you the poster I had growing up as a kid. The Lakers were in the transition period, and it was the next generation, and it was just the stars in the background, and it's like they were all in space, and it was Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, and Cedric
Sabalos.
Oh, they
were in outer space?
Oh, yeah, it was the next generation. Watch out for them. It's funny because I think a lot of people back in the day, and I don't know, I'm assuming posters are not of interest anymore. Maybe I'm wrong, but back in the day, posters were like, basically everything when it came to sports.
Was it that one?
It was exactly that one. it doesn't take long to find that one. And it was, watch out, this is going to be the future of the Lakers.
It's Sabalos, Van Exel, and Eddie Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sabalos ended up getting traded for Ori.
Who was 1-2-3 Cancun? Was that Van
Exel?
Nick.
That's Nick? That's Nick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the, hey, guys, it's time for the offseason.
By the way, that was 30 years ago, and it still resonates. Pretty great thing to say. I mean, in the moment, probably not the best thing to say, but he coined a phrase that stood up for 30 years.
I hear on TNT when they go, you know, they do the
gone fishing.
That's exactly what it is. Oh, bro, the Cancun comes up a lot.
Every time. What Patrick Mahomes' wife tweeted it the other day when they beat the Bengals.
Eli Apple, right?
1-2-3
Everybody's
Cancun.
Going to Cancun.
Yeah.
Nick Van Exel, you give that man his respect.
Hey, you get your legacies where you can get your legacies. I'm not kidding you, Slee. It was glorious. I enjoyed every single second of it. So I don't know what's going to spark the thought
tonight.
Today,
you should do it again.
Deep dive. I looked at them all. I think that I was a pretty typical 10 to 15 year old kid. that I wanted the Heather Thomas poster, the Farrah Fawcett, all of these things. But I really wanted George Brett and Reggie Jackson more. Like, I was far more interested in, hey, can I get that Dr. Duncanstein poster of Daryl Griffith?
I'm trying to think.
I had to have that.
The one, the random ones, okay? There was...
Remember George Gervin?
The Gervin one? No. He
was in an ice throne.
That's right.
Iceman. He had on like an ice-colored sweatsuit, and he was sitting there holding two basketballs. It's like the Game of Thrones throne, only made of ice. Awesome.
All right, I got one that you tell me if you remember this one. I'm trying to think exactly what it was. Remember Tony Gwynn was Batman? He didn't dress up. But he had so many batting titles. He's holding, I think, six bats or something like that. And it was Tony Gwynn, right? So it was just like there's certain ones that you remember. Jordan, there's obviously iconic ones left and right. Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Awesome.
Did Dominique have one?
They all had one. That was what was so fun. Like, that's how you knew who you were. And then the most famous one of them all was Bo Jackson. Shoulder pads, over the shoulder with his arms hanging over. Just amazing. Just a fantastic one.
You should do that tonight from 6 to 10.
I had all of these. I had a Michael Thompson poster. I didn't even know I had it. It was called Jam Session. It was all the Nike athletes like out at Venice Beach, and there was like, I don't know, 20 guys in it, and Michael was in it. I didn't even know it until recently. He's like, yeah, I think they gave us like $100 to come down there and do it one day or whatever it was. You imagine you had 25 NBA players down at Venice Beach for $100 a piece? Get out of here.
Taylor, you have any posters growing up? Do you have any the NBA roots, any of that stuff or no? Because I'm imagining him would be, you know, it's going to be completely different players than we would be thinking of.
I had a Torrey Hunter.
Awesome.
And Jason Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Williams. He's got to get a king in there.
Got to have my kings.
Yeah. Did you, Emily, was a girl, was posters a girl thing?
I had.
She had Taylor Swift before Taylor Swift was around.
Like
Tiger Beat, Dreamboat kind of situations?
My sisters had more of those, but I had the Dark Knight poster for Heath Ledger on the back of my door. It's still there. I have Walter White. I have Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. I had Troy Polamalu, Fathead. So like one of the big
damn,
ones
the in my head. Fathead's had a minute.
Right.
Yeah,
I did. I think, and then I had a poster for Mumford & Sons because that was
so
what I
three
was
guys that want to blow up the world: Troy Polamalu and Mumford & Sons.
Yep.
Okay.
Makes all the sense in the world.
By the way, fits. That all tracks. that all tracks for you, Emily. That feels about right. All right, we are
and then,
1 week.
Of course, growing up, I had Max Christie. Had Max Christie as well.
Even back in 1979, Max Christie wasn't getting a poster. Like the Ray Guy,
the
punter,
just
would get one. I know.
Give the man a second.
That's why they're in 13th place. I remember that one.
Because of Christie. I love how Christie's the odd man out.
No, follow along. If he's starting, you have a 13th place team. That's not that he's the cause of it, but if he's in it.
Well, then that's Troy Brown then. Because Troy Brown's the one that's been in the.
Same difference. Yeah. That's how that works. 1 week from the trade deadline, maybe these guys won't be starting in a week from now. We'll do it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Does it feel to you like the Lakers have had 46 games this week?
49.
Weird week. You had a little Groundhog Day. You got a game every day.
They are cranking games right now.
Yeah.
Just pumping.
Is that always before the All-Star break? I remember you cram a bunch of games in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, All-Star break, you know, obviously it's not the midway point, but I think you're probably 65, something like that, almost 70% through.
Yeah.
That's like the barometer you just have to get to.
And yeah, once it's you get downhill there, from there.
Then you're about 24 away.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. This team's been so... I think there are times when I'm sure if you're a squad that's winning, I remember and I know it's different because it was the COVID year and we had freaking 3-4 months where they stopped basketball, but when your squad's winning all the time, it's probably just like you don't even know what's going on. The Lakers are start, stop, reverse, go forward, two steps back, stop.
They're all over the map. Taylor just sent us a picture. We should post this online if you're okay with this, Taylor.
Absolutely.
How old are you in this picture? You look like you're about maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah, pretty young.
He's got a bow and arrow, and I'm not. I did not grow up. It's the first thing I noticed too. What's that?
That he's not looking anywhere near the target.
I was not raised with bow and arrows, so I don't know bow and arrow safety necessarily, but this feels like a bad move, that you are looking away from where you have the arrow pointed. I feel like this is how accidents happen.
As long as there's nobody in front of me.
Well, here's the good thing. What I see just off the picture is 187 acres of land, so I think he's
is that a golf cart or is that a tractor? What am I looking
for? It's a golf cart.
Okay. Yeah. What did you use the golf cart for?
Just riding around.
All right.
When you have 187 acres of land.
I would think a car. I would think an ATV. I mean, you're not going to play a quick 9 in the soybean fields, are you? Maybe. It doesn't sound so bad.
Took it down hills, over ramps, you know.
So do you have, because the picture is kind of cut off here, you just got a target there that you're shooting at, somebody in pops or mom's telling you,
I think it was a bale
hey.
Of hay. I used to practice shooting into a bale of hay.
Oh, so you were like, were you ever competitive?
No, not at all.
Like that would be archery, silly. Not just hunting, not just killing woodchucks with bow and arrow. I'm an archer.
There's a tournament this weekend down in Anaheim.
half archery, next, half jousting.
The next axe throwing could be archery.
I thought he was going to say the next. We're doing pickleball.
Yeah,
nobody knows how to do it. We're going to do.
Speaking of, going to try to play today, which is a huge mistake.
You know you're going through these withdrawals. The conversation that you've had with me in the past week about pickleball is, Slee, I can't tell you how sore I was. I don't think I'm going to make it to the finish line. Hey, I'm playing tonight.
I the second I start to feel better, I want to go play again. Because
that's good.
I played a week ago today, and then I went to Vegas, and I could barely walk. And I was just I couldn't sleep. I was in agony. And the last couple of days I've been better, and now I'm ready to hop back out there again. When are you going to start?
Oh, I don't even know which day to start.
Let me ask you this. And be honest. Don't do your deal. Are you going to play at all before the tournament starts?
Yeah, I have to. I'm going to get with Belzer. That's going to happen.
When? It's February. It's next month. It's coming up pretty quick.
During the All-Star break, I'll do it.
All right.
Yeah, because then we have like a chance to breathe for a quick second. I have to play. Like I can't walk in and never have played, and that's the first time I'm doing it.
Or
I need a little bit.
Or that's exactly what you should do. You either need to really get into it and start playing, or don't play at all.
I love that.
Because then you can't get embarrassed. If you don't have any pre-notions, you can't get embarrassed.
But I love that setup. Or,
right?
You never play.
You know what the worst place to be is? Right in the middle. Either be good at it or dreadful. Face plant like Mace or win the tournament.
It's better.
Those are the options.
I disagree. It's better to be the Portland Trailblazers and never compete either way.
No, it's not. That's the worst thing to be. Emily, have you touched a paddle yet?
I have not, but I have plans this weekend to practice with my friend Ethan. So I have it on the books.
Does Ethan play or are you both
Ethan
beginners?
Plays and he's not like the best in the world, but he knows what he's doing.
What's he ranked in the city of LA?
I have no idea, but I just was like, yeah, sure. If you want to help me, I'll take it.
That's Taylor, good. That's great. She's got somebody to play with.
Just to hit the ball back and forth. Have you gone out at all, Taylor? Do you have plans to go out?
I need to. Yeah.
I don't think our show's going to represent
very
well.
I think that we're going to be the group that doesn't try that hard.
Like, it's actually interesting. Yeah. Taylor, you and I should get out there.
You think so?
She's got somebody to play with. He's basically becoming a professional out there and is going to pull a hammy in the next 30 minutes.
As long as the entire tournament lasts like 16 minutes, I got a shot. if it goes to the 17th minute, I'm basically on fumes. I'm like LeBron in the fourth quarter. I'm just
don't go overtime.
I don't have quite enough time to get to the finish line.
I didn't know that you would compare yourself.
Oh, frequently.
You pickleball is LeBron.
In the fourth quarter, out of gas.
Overtime is when he's out of gas. 2 minutes left, he's out of gas. Yeah, there you go.
There, I'm LeBron it's with 2 minutes to go in the it's fourth in the quarter. That feels more likely. We'll see. I'm gonna try to play today, but you need to play a little bit, Slee.
No, I know. I know.
I don't have a lot of faith in you, if I'm being honest. You're avoiding eye contact right now.
This is the only thing that I think will play to my advantage. We talked about it. Tennis I've played before. Ping pong I played before.
When was the last time you played tennis? Yeah, exactly. That's
a couple years ago.
When was the last time you played ping pong?
Ping pong more recently. Like probably a year ago? 6 months ago. Okay. Probably 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's kind of a good hybrid of the two, but it's a little more tennis than ping pong. So if you're gonna dip your toe back in the paddle sports or racket sports.
When you told me DeMarco is straight training as if he's coming out of college.
He did the show with me last Thursday, and in the middle of the show, he got a call from his trainer. And he's like, the trainer's like, where are you? We had an 11:30. And DeMarco's like, I'm on the radio with Travis. And I'm like, you have like a standing appointment for that? He goes, no, I started training to get ready for this pickleball thing. Like, oh boy, here we go.
Well, we didn't train for softball at all. We still won, Travis.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
We got second. You couldn't find it. Were you trying to find it? Yeah, I could tell. I could see the cursor everywhere.
Couldn't
and I
find what?
Does Travis go deep? Yeah. Travis goes deep!
By the way, you can't see it right now. I only have like 10 things on the board. They're all the size of a playing card.
And they're all Travis goes deep.
No, I also have this one. Super fun season. And this one.
Ole, ole, ole.
Got a few. Only way. I need, and my parrot, Astley, got a bunch of things. 1 week from today. Last week, DeMarco was training for pickleball. 1 week from now, the NBA trade deadline. The Lakers have had these two picks that are kind of their assets, right? The things that the three things that they have that presumably could bring back something else are those two picks and Russell Westbrook's expiring contract. Those are the three things that would be appealing to other places. There's been a ton of speculation on whether or not the Lakers would do something with any or all of those pieces to bring in the player to get them to the next level, et cetera, et cetera. It hasn't happened. We've been talking about it for a long time now, and it hasn't happened. We got a week to go.
Right.
Am I safe to assume that if this were going to happen, it would have happened by now, and it's not going to happen in the next 7 days?
I think if you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said, yeah, I think the chances of something big happening or the chances of moving one of those picks or both of those picks, I would have said is pretty unlikely. Now, I'm actually kind of starting to lean the other way.
Really?
I'm starting to lean the other way. And part of it has to do with...
Are you hearing things?
Well, Chris Haynes, you heard him. Chris Haynes says Rob Palenka still has a move or two left in him, and that's Chris Haynes. And Chris Haynes, one of the things... I think there's certain people out there that you could really take a listen to. They're not going to do it for clout. They're not going to do it for, hey, I'm just trying to get some people to click on something. So just the mere fact that was out there. By the way, you could listen to Rob Palenka when they got Rui, when they got Hachimura, and he was out there, and he said... he kind of emphasized.
But he also qualified it too, Slee. It wasn't just.
It has to be something.
The qualifier was it needs to be a deal that I think makes us a much better team than we are.
Okay,
right,
so this is the only thing that I will. It's not apples to apples. If Russell Westbrook does not get traded and this offseason comes, it does not mean, and I'm not the salary cap expert, so nor am I going to try to be, but it doesn't mean, hey, 47's coming off the books. You have $47 million
like 35.
Available. It'll be probably between 30 and 35. Okay. And there's some determining factors, whatever the case is. And I think they're going to sign Rui to a deal, and he'll probably be $10 million. So now you're working with 20 to 25, right? So, but it's not apples to apples. You can't just, I had that contract, it's gone, now I have that money.
Okay.
Part of, I think, the allure of still trading Russ, again, I would have told you 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't think that was a possibility, and we may be sitting here 1 week and Russ is on the team the rest of the way. Part of the allure is, can you get a player or two that will be on your team, not just for the remainder of this year, but is also locked up next year? The Lakers, if you go look at those free agents this upcoming year, there's really no attractive free agents, or they're players that Chris Middleton's going to go back. Kyrie's probably going to do his own thing in Brooklyn, and he's going to get a max deal or whatever it is, right? So there is not this... The one disadvantage the Lakers would have by keeping Russ throughout the entire year, A, if you see the way they're using him, I know he comes off the bench and everything else. There's a lot of moments in the fourth quarter they're not using him. Mm-hmm. If you get into the playoffs and Russ is
still kind of that liability from a shooting perspective. You already got, do you want the ball in LeBron's hands? Do you want the ball in Russ's hands? I think there's some clear, Dennis Schroeder brings the ball up a lot as well. I don't know how much value he's going to have when you get to the playoffs either. So I could see them, if they traded Russ, they did a move. It's not Trav just for this year. It's saying we locked up two guys also for next season. And on top of that, you're not going to go out in free agency and replace Russ. You're just not going to. It doesn't work like that, yeah. Put it that way.
All right. You mentioned a lot of things that I think are the complicating factors in getting a deal done. I want to come back and get into some of those, specifically Russell Westbrook's usage from this point forward. In fact, if he does stay, and if they don't move him, what the Lakers are telling you, me, and all the fans. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Somebody's calling you the Magic Johnson of archery, Taylor, that you're going for no-look bow and arrow shots.
The white chocolate. Come on, guys. Get it right.
I think you'd rather be Magic. I think that when it comes down to white chocolate or Magic Johnson.
We haven't actually seen it, so I have no idea if he threw a no-look pass and it went three rows up the stands or it was
bullseye.
It was perfect.
Center cut. What's the middle of the bullseye? Yellow? I think it's yellow. Just that feels
I
like
think
a
red.
Is it red?
Yeah, I think it's red.
Red,
on
red
a,
works.
At least on a dartboard.
Dartboard. Yeah. Yeah, but on an archery, anyway, it doesn't matter.
If you're arguing with me,
you win.
Right.
It's
you
yellow?
Win.
Yeah, it's yellow.
I'll edit that where you just said the part where Travis is right. I'd like to have that on the board, too. That should be another one of my drops.
Start deleting those as we go on.
There was a time I knew how to do it. I don't know how to do it anymore. You look good, Taylor, other than you might take out your mom or your dad or
the
your siblings.
The bowl cut?
Somebody did want to know where the bowl that your mother used to cut your hair was located.
It's pretty rough. Different time. I saw the date on that. So I guess I was 6 years old, 97.
Yeah, it's a big six-year-old.
Yeah. I came probably, out of the womb 10 pounds.
Probably looked like
he got a lot of milk.
24. Looked like he was 24 when he was probably 16.
So, it's funny you said you were 10 pounds on the number?
Yeah, 10 pounds.
Okay. I was almost 11 pounds when I was born.
Wow.
And my grandmother lived to be 98 years old. I had a wonderful relationship with my grandmother on my mom's side. Got to really know her over my 40-something years that we were together. I don't know if there was ever a time in the 40-some-odd years that I would see her for the first time after a while where she wouldn't remind me that I was a ridiculously large baby. And, oh, by the way,
that's like record setting, though.
Not good looking. Like, oh, you were huge and not cute at all. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate that. I'll take a cookie.
Trev and then she was very sweet after that.
Yeah.
Very sweet after that.
Trav came out with a sleeve of Thin Mints in his hand.
I was getting plenty of nourishment, that's for sure. Almost
11 pounds.
Just about 10 pounds, like 13 ounces, something like that.
Damn.
Big. I mean, what are you going to do? And then she tried to shame Susan because all of my kids came in around 7 pounds, kind of, you know, normal sized babies. And it was like, no, that's not big enough. We throw those back. Like she was trying to be funny, but my Susan was mortified. She's like, there's nothing wrong with my children. And it looked pretty small. Did you
Susan
eat enough?
Was ready to swing.
Susan doesn't play around with that stuff. And the funny part was, neither did my grandmother. So they were kind of
bunt some heads there. No one's backing down.
What do you mean? It's he was almost 8 pounds. Yeah, you know, most of mine were like 10. You know, I'm just saying, kind of malnourished children. Malnourished? They've been here for a day.
What is, by the way, it was like six is normal?
Yeah.
Or average?
Yeah, I think six, seven,
well,
some,
eight
somewhere
to 10.
That's a big.
It's a big kid.
Big baby. Yeah, it's a, there's a lot going on. All right, we were talking about Russell Westbrook a second ago, and you were saying, you know, you just can't replace him at the end of the year with a, you know, player for player kind of situation. The money obviously is dependent on some other factors and those sorts of things. But if they don't move him, right, if they decide to keep him, which I think is a very likely possibility. I wouldn't be stunned if they did, but I think
more likely he stays than he goes.
Agreed.
Let's put it that
way. I think that's exactly right. I also think if that is what happens, I think they're telling us without telling us that, guys, there isn't a move out there that's going to make us a lot better. We're not going to make a run in the playoffs to the point where it's like, hey, this is getting exciting. Not that they won't get in, but this is kind of what we have.
They may not even get in. That could happen too.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of where we are. I'm not spending what little capital I have to not make us any better. I'm not. The one thing I have is an expiring contract, and maybe there's not a huge free agent that I want to have. But I would also rather have something than nothing to go from 13th to 11th and be inside this thing or barely outside of it or whatever it is. If they don't make a move without saying it, that's what I'm picking up from them if they decide to have Russell Westbrook on this team past the deadline.
So that quote that I was talking about, this is Palenka. This was when they were introducing Rui. And I said this at the beginning of the season. If there's an opportunity to get all the way to the end and win a championship, there's no resource we'll hold on to if we feel like that's there. Now, I understand that there's no move you can make that's going to guarantee you that. All you can do is just increase your chances. And that, I think that's what we're talking about. Let me throw out some names here that have been rumored around the Lakers. There's been conversation around the Lakers. Whether it's Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the Chicago Bulls, are they going to start selling off?
They've had a weird season.
And their quarterback is Lonzo.
Yeah.
And that entire engine goes with Lonzo, and he hasn't been there all season. But they might start selling. The Toronto Raptors could very easily start selling. They're going to keep the right pieces, but OG Anunoby could be out. Gary Trent Jr., there was an article yesterday, what it would take to get him. Fred VanVleet, are they going to really pay him in the offseason? He may go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just some players. The Charlotte Hornets, who I think it's perfect what they're doing, they're going to try to go get Wembanyama, and they want to be one of the three worst records in the NBA. So whatever assets they have, they're okay with saying, okay, hey, just give us some draft compensation, take this guy, take that guy, whatever the case is. So there are players out there that could come to the Lakers. It's going to come down to two things, Trav. A, if you're Rob Pelinka, do you think we are that player away from now hanging with the rest of the crew? Because it's not about you went and made a trade and now you're going to be number eight.
Right.
No, it's we went and made a trade. Give us a 7-game set with Memphis. It's a coin flip. Or Memphis has a little bit of an advantage. Or Denver has a little bit of it. It's got to be something like that. If they don't make a move, I think you are right. I think it's just simply that the market has told them there's no move to be had.
And their team has told them. The market and the team. The market for sure, because...
What do you think it's more of?
I think it's more the team.
I think it's more the market.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's the team that... It's the same thing we've talked about from the beginning of the season. That, yes, the West is kind of flat. Yes, everybody's kind of bunched together. Yes, there isn't a great team that is clearly the team to beat going into it, whether it's Golden State, Denver, Memphis, whatever it might be. There isn't one. But the Lakers have not gotten out of exactly where they've been all season long. If they were in the mix with those other teams, they'd at least occasionally pop up in there. They'll beat them for a game here or there. It's not that they can't win games. It's that they don't win enough games in a period of time to start to creep up the standings. They haven't.
So I think if I'm taking what you just said, you're not talking about that's what you think Rob Pelinka believes, that's what you believe.
No, I think that's what Rob Pelinka and I believe.
So I think that Rob, 100%, if there was a player to be had and he felt like that the market was reasonable, or he didn't feel like he was going to get fleeced, or he didn't feel like he felt like he could get the proper return back, I think they make that move. I really do, and I think the team and the roster that you're looking at.
So for the last year, they haven't found that move. It just has not presented itself.
I don't think it hasn't presented itself. I think the other teams have told them this is what it's going to cost, and they have been comfortable to say we are not going to pay that. Right? That they're comfortable in telling the other teams out there that they're not going to go make that move.
Yeah.
And the reason, Trav, let me tell you, the reason why I think that front office, the team has less to do with it than the actual market. I don't think they make the trade for Rui if that was the case. I know Rui didn't cost a lot, but Rui still cost 3 second rounders. Yeah. It's not nothing. Let's put it that way. I think it's worth the risk.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
And I
think it's closer to nothing than something.
I think they are looking at whatever other teams are telling them or whatever. One of the biggest problems, Lakers, there's 12 teams in front of the Lakers.
Yeah.
What if Portland's trying to make a trade for one of these guys? What if?
But this is the thing, Al. It's like one of these guys, there isn't a guy that you know is going to move who's a difference maker. There are guys that would make you a better team, but in years past, there's the guy, hey, look, so-and-so is going to trade this guy. It's mm-hmm. the best offer is going to get this guy, and it may kind of swing it one way or the other. It may make them go from a team that's kind of in it to a team that's much more competitive come postseason. All of these guys that we're talking about, even guys like Zach LaVine, who's a nice player, I don't know whoever gets Zach LaVine all of a sudden, oh, man, they got him. Okay, now they're the team to beat. They're all kind of mid-tier guys, maybe slightly better than that. But there's no, hey, we're going to get that guy and everything changes.
So here's the difference, I think, with the Lakers. What you're giving up to get these guys, I don't think has anything to do with the guys. Because I don't think those players, like, I don't think if the Lakers lost Russell Westbrook tomorrow, mm-hmm. but Zach LaVine came in, I think you'd feel much more benefit of having Zach LaVine than you would of Russ not being here. It's just going to come down to the draft compensation. That's it. They got so many players.
But I agree with that, but I think there's a second sentence after that. I agree with everything you said, but it also does Zach LaVine make them a threat to win the Western Conference? I don't think he does. And that's the
it's a good team.
It's a better team.
It's a
I don't know
team.
If it's a good team. I won't go that far. It's better, but I don't know if it's good. And that's the part that I think Rob Plink and I may share a similar point of view, that I'm not getting rid of Russell Westbrook or the picks or whatever just to get better. I want to be good. And I don't know if any of these guys, not even to make it LaVine specific, any of the players that we're talking about potentially moving, I don't know if anybody takes them from where they are to good. Where they are to better, yes. Where they are to good, I don't see the deal.
Part of the other motivation is, like we said, any player that you are trading for, once Russ is gone, he's gone. And trying then to put together a team next year when that contract is now out the door, you'll have less options. You have less options because of that.
Because he's gone?
Yeah, because that 47, like we were just talking about, right? The amount of money that's there, right? You got, it's not $47 million are coming in and there's a great free agency pool and now they're going and picking. The only thing is if they decide, I think this is part of the thing with Rui, they know they're going to have more than just this season. Whoever they trade for, the idea and the concept is they have more than just this season.
Hey, did you see with William Tell coming up next? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Before we get to, hey, did you see, Taylor, how sharp were, like when you were there, six-year-old bow and arrow wielding Taylor Smith, how sharp is the tip of that arrow?
Sharp enough to pierce a target.
A person?
Yeah.
I like to target.
I mean, you got to learn safety.
If I were...
Nobody was in front of me in the picture,
30 feet away from you when you were 6 years old and you shoot that, does it stick in my leg?
Was that that good of a shot? Are you
No. Like,
oh,
if an accident happened and you inadvertently,
it's not going to feel good.
Would it stick in my leg?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's maybe take that away from
this
the
six. Dangerous.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a lot more questions. We'll get to more. What do you got for us?
It's a different world out there in Iowa.
I guess so.
Did you see that three coaches have been fired after it was revealed that a 22-year-old assistant suited up for and appeared in a junior varsity girls basketball game in Portsmouth, Virginia?
I did see that, yes.
This is kind of a repeat of Tuesday, actually. Could you beat 3 10-year-olds in a pickup game to 3? Or in a pickup game to 11? Sliwa.
First off, I'm posting up right out the gate. Second off, I'm throwing elbows. It's going to get dirty out there. I'm taking charges. I think I could beat them. I think I could beat 3 10-year-olds. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be a close game. Up to 3-2. I hit one at the buzzer. But yes, I think I take them.
How many were playing to 3?
Now, if they were 12-year-olds, now it's different. That extra 2 years is a big difference.
Are these 10-year-olds we're competing against, are they basketball players?
Yeah.
They're going to beat you. They're going to beat me. They're going to beat all of us.
12 or 10?
10. There's 3 of them.
10 we can. 10 we can.
If there's 3 of them and they know how to play basketball a little and they spread out,
they're selfish.
Well, that may be it. But if they play basketball, they're going to get a layup a lot of the times, or they're going to get very short jump shots a lot of the time. If they're just three 10-year-olds off the street.
What if you get the ball first?
Yeah, if they're soccer kids, mate, but look, you're going to miss.
Yeah.
You'd have to make all your shots. I agree. I'm a lot bigger than the average 10-year-old, but if they play, I think they'd get me. I really do.
I would ref, and I'd call 3 seconds in the key. at the Kennedy Recreation Center.
Well, sure.
Days. I think they were 8 to 10. There was 8 to 10, 10 to 12, whatever the ages were, right? I'm not kidding. Once they start hitting like 12, 13, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. 10 is like that
it's the
cutoff.
It's the cusp. Yeah. But if they know how to spread the floor, if they've been well coached.
I was going to say, if I was a good coach, they'd beat me.
Yeah. If they know how to you stand over here. He can't get to three places at once.
Yeah.
We're all going to be 6 feet away from the hoop, but we need to be spread out.
I like the 22-year-olds going back and playing. And
congratulations, you beat 8th graders.
Right.
Way to go.
In a JV game, too. It's meaningless.
Game. Yeah.
Come on.
Like, a cheat for the state championship, not for the JV team. It's nuts.
Did you see the video, too? She was, like, calling and ones and stuff, celebrating.
So this is the first I've ever heard of it. The fact that there's also, if she's doing this, too, where.
Too small.
And doing this, we got
three
issues.
Three to the temple.
By the way, those are the 10-year-olds you're playing against. Those kids, remember the little kids that were flexing? And
they're winning.
They're winning. That's what I'm talking about. Winning. Those kids are beating us.
Yeah. Like, and they're running their mouth.
If you went to soccer practice, right, and pulled three Tristans and Ethans off the field,
sure.
Those kids you're going to smash. But the basketball kids.
Very accurate with the names there.
Don't forget Aiden.
Oh, lots of Aidens. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Ethan.
Next up, guys, did you see that the average American. Sorry. The average American utters 80 to 90 curse words every day. So what are some top tier insults that don't require curse words? Travis.
I have an answer to this. I use it a lot. You might even know what I'm about to say. I think it's a great word. When you say it, you know exactly what the person means by it. It means a very specific type of guy or girl. Jerk. Jerk is a great, that guy's a jerk. Like, you know exactly it's what that thing is. Does that qualify?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a very good, clean word to describe somebody that you're not a fan of.
All right, so I think it's also how you say it, right? Because I might sit here and say, man, you're stupid. Or if I could say, you're stupid. Ooh. There's certain ways you say things that I think can pierce somebody without it being a curse word. Jerk's a good one. I think when you're if somebody says you're an idiot, I don't really care. I'm not paying attention. I think it's how somebody says it.
Clown is good.
Clown is, yeah, clown.
Yeah, jabroni's good, but that's like wrestling. You need to know.
It is. Kelsey was, it was a wrestling moment.
And he's a wrestling type of personality. Yeah, like if I called you a jabroni, like, what are you doing? You don't even watch wrestling.
Well, I mean, listen, there are things you could say to somebody. You could say you're ugly. You could say you're fat. You're this. You're that. There's things you could do to hit somebody personally, which is not a curse word.
You're a Yahoo.
Like when you called all the quarterbacks ugly that day. Who were you particularly?
Trevor Lawrence. And then after they beat the Chargers, I'm like, she's completely right with everything that she
handsome
said.
Handsome devil. Dreamboat.
Good but, looking as they get.
This isn't exactly the same question, but my soccer coach when I grew up, he was very Christian. So I don't even know if he used curse words in his regular life, but when something happened, he was also short. He had tiny little legs, and he ran up and down the field going, sugar! And he'd like do like...
My mom says that.
And he would say...
sugar?
Mm-hmm. Bless it.
Bless it. Jesus McPriest, and you say like really loud or all this stuff. It was like always these like really weird things that I kind of also picked up in my life. So now when I used to coach water polo, I used to say sugar a lot too, and then they would make fun of me. And I was like, well, okay, do you want me to say the other word? I'm not going to say the other word.
You rotten, stinking, bleakety blanks.
You little sugar.
It's pretty good. I like that.
I love it. Did you see that 84% of Americans think that people are angrier today than they were a generation ago?
No, we're not.
So, Sliwa, when was the last time that you were so angry that you yelled?
Wow, that I actually yelled? Okay, we'll try to justify this.
Rookie?
I'm not kidding. Literally, I was going to tell you. So, this guy sometimes, go take him for a walk, and he's like demented. I don't know what's going on. His eyes are, there's a demon inside of him or something, okay? And to kind of get this dude under control, I took him by the leash, by the collar, put him down, and I freaking yelled at him. And then when I yelled at him, I'm like, why did I just yell at him? But Rookie is the last person that I've had a confrontation with.
I yell at my kids.
But what is your definition of yelling?
Yelling loudly with
your dad.
With anger in my voice.
Has it become because if you do it all the time,
I don't do it all the time, mm-hmm. but I do do it. I try not to. I really truly
do.
It
holds more power if you
don't
do it all the time.
I do it more than I probably should. I've probably erred on the side of using it more frequently than I should, but I do. I yell at the kids. And I don't like it. I always feel bad after I've done it because I yell. Like Susan does the neighbors are going to hear you kind of thing. Mm. Like not just, hey, knock it off. Not that. Like I'm yelling. And she's like, you know, the neighbors can hear you. I'm like, well, did you see what they just did?
They should close their window.
Did you see what that kid just did right now? Do you not want to strangle them to death?
What's their reaction? Who takes the reaction?
Bobby.
Bobby doesn't care?
Doesn't care at all. I haven't yelled at him in a long time because he's an adult and there's not really much to yell about. Michael takes it the hardest. He's the most sensitive.
Wait till a couple more years. I'm assuming he's going to be like Bobby?
He's wired different. No. Bobby didn't care when he was five.
Bobby didn't take his shoes in the Rose Bowl.
He didn't care when he was five. Michael still cares. Yeah.
I mean, as you guys all know, I get animated about several different topics.
Like what?
So I probably, my most recent yelling is
yesterday,
probably,
right?
Yeah, yesterday or just the first segment of the show today.
Milk yesterday?
Milk yesterday. There's something else. And I also did a trivia last night over some sort of stupid thing. But last time.
Did you guys lose or win?
We lost. Yeah.
Tell us more.
Third?
What happened?
We messed up on the Rat Pack and the Brat Pack. We were supposed to name all the members of both the Rat Pack and the Brat Pack.
Oh, I want to try to do that.
Did you yell at your own teammates?
No, kind of. Yeah. But it's
did you forget
it's
Peter Lawford from the Rat Pack?
I forgot most of the people from both of them.
I was waiting for her to say, you lost us the game, and she yelled at them.
No, so the thing is, there's this one segment where you have to, you have a bunch of answers, and then you have to connect why they're, you have to connect all the answers together. So it's mm-hmm. like, last night it was penguins, and it was like Danny DeVito, and it was Emperor, and all these things. Okay, so why are these all things connected? It's penguins. But my one friend, we were told him, don't guess until we have all the answers, and he started saying, like, anyway, so it's kind of, we have playful fun
I feel
together.
Bad for him.
Don't feel bad for him. He's Ethan. He's going to want him to play pickleball with.
Yeah, Ethan.
Oh, Brooke. He's going to be.
Emily's going to be just launching the ball to space. She's not going to try to
score
points.
No, he's going
to
dominate her. He's going to teach her nothing.
Raiders still need a quarterback, and Tom Brady's not available, but another Hall of Famer might be. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.